This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
216-474-0092. We will talk Cavs, talk Cavs and Orlando and possibly Boston coming up at 720 as well. And, boy, not everything good along the river, apparently. Some big names down in Cincinnati saying they won out. We'll get to that coming up here in about 20 minutes as well. So, Solomon Wilcots, can I get O2 again? I'm sorry there, Owen. We were amongst conversation and forgot to tell you that. Solomon Wilcots was on Afternoon Drive and revived the trade conversation about Greg Newsom.
Offensive linemen, you and I both know that's what's needed. Cleveland Browns last year, you played as many offensive linemen as any team in the NFL, to be honest with you. I think you can get a quality linebacker, and I think you can add to your defensive rotation up front. Remains to be seen what they're going to do, because, look, I'm hearing on the street that they could end up making a move to get a second-round selection by dealing Greg Newsom. You guys have a glut of these really good cornerbacks, and Andrew Berry can look to pick up a draft pick by moving a player.
So you can use any argument you want. You can tell me that, well, Ken, does that mean you're going to sign him long-term? I said, no, I'm not going to sign him long-term. I'm not saying I want to sign him long-term. I have a good, solid player. Now, you brought up the value with him. It's not a – is he a first-round value anymore? No. Like, Denzel at his very best is still a first-rounder. Like, he's great. Now, I don't know if you get a first-rounder for him because of the injury history, but that's the exact point why I want to hold on to Greg Newsom. I'm going to need him this year. I need the experience. I need the talent at the nickel position. Now, somebody did correct me. I wondered seventh-round pick. My mind deceived me. Jim Correo on Twitter was right. He said he was a fifth-round pick, Cam Mitchell was. He was, but the point still stands. Do I really want to take where Cam Mitchell stepped up and played well? He made a great play in the Chicago Bears game to get that win. Am I going to put the onus on him to go out there and have to start for my football team because Denzel Ward might be banged up or MJ Emerson might be banged up? Now, Greg Newsom's been banged up too, but I do want some depth in my secondary. Now, I got a good football team right now. I know that Greg Newsom might not be long, but it's not about holding on to Greg Newsom no matter what. The dollars and cents would say maybe you're probably not going to do that, but it's about making my team as deep and as good as possible, especially when we're coming off a year where everybody was scared to bejesus because we kept losing players every single week. And again, Denzel Ward doesn't play a full season. I need my depth because Greg might be put in a bad position in one-on-one man coverage, but as a nickel, he's been pretty decent.
I just think the Browns are kind of in a tough spot of having to think about winning now and also prolonging, you know, this window that they have. I just went over the offensive line with you, and I'm like, who's even going to be here in 2 years? You know, they've got some critical decisions to make. They've got more money they have to spend. They've already spent more money than everybody else in the NFL. but there is a bit of a tax that comes due. And, you know, we know there's still restructures they can do and all that, but they have to be careful. And if one of the ways they can do that is by accruing some draft picks, and in this case, we're talking about maybe a second rounder, which I got to see which team they're trading with, because there's a big difference between pick 33 and there is 60, whatever.
Yeah.
But it gets
and
very.
And they're pick 54.
And, you know,
so.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously.
I got one to ask you coming
any
up here
team,
in a second.
Any team trading for Greg Newsom now wants 2 years of control. They want, and they're probably going to get a deal done with him as well. But there is this year, and then there's the fifth year option year. So I'm thinking that if it's going to get done, it's going to get done this year. I don't think the Browns are going to end up with Newsom in no man's land, which would be a franchise tag year or anything like that. They're either going to commit to paying him or trading him. I don't see it playing out this year. I just don't think that's what this group would want
to
do.
Let me get to Matt in Grafton. Matt, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
My only point, and I think you guys are doing good bringing this all up now. I think the one thing that plays into this is performance. He got torched in the playoff game. And I think Anthony kind of tried to get to this a little bit earlier, and I think they tried to touch on it yesterday in the afternoon show. But I think it makes it easier to move on from him, because I don't think he's lived up to the potential. I don't think he's as good as he used to be, and I think it's just time to move on. I think part of rebuilding that team, and like you said, it's going to be hard with the salary cap, but I think part of building that team is knowing when to move on from players.
Well, I think everybody other than Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and Obo Okoronkwo looked bad on the defensive side in the game against Houston. Now, that's not an excuse for Greg. Let me ask you this, because I was going to ask Lyman this. Let me ask you, Matt. Would you trade a second-round pick for Greg Newsom?
You're not going to get a second-round pick, I don't think.
Bingo.
Bingo. There's no way I would. If I was another team, no way. Not a second round.
So this is where I'm at. Now, I got to check out these rules here, because I wanted to flip this around on you and do some slippery wizardry of my own, because everybody, when we get into trade radio, everybody just wants to trade guys that we're willing to trade for everybody else's big picks. If you were pick 33 to 53, are you trading a second-round pick for Greg Newsom, knowing that you would have to pay that bill later on his contract? I'm not hearing anything from anybody in the gallery.
Yeah, but we're reacting to what Solomon Wilcott said, which is he's hearing that.
And that's why I think what Solomon is hearing, no offense to Solomon Wilcott's, is a hope and not necessarily a truth. Because if I can ask you to a man and woman driving around in downtown Cleveland right now and all throughout Northeast Ohio, would you trade a second-round pick for Greg? A lot of people are going to say no. Some might say yes just to get Greg out of here.
But
they're going to say no.
You're saying you wouldn't do it.
No, but this is the thing.
But you're saying second is too high for him.
So you're telling
me what you think his value is. And it doesn't sound like you think his value is all that great.
Let me get to this. If you lose him in free agency, you'll more than likely get a third or fourth round compensatory pick. Now, that's me fishing in the dark right now. Great song. Me fishing in the dark. Because I don't necessarily know how that all washes out. And you can ask Zach Jackson, who's as good as it gets with it, and he even kind of throws his hands up and says, man, I'm not necessarily sure. You could get a third, depending on the value, fourth-round compensatory pick. Isn't that more in line of what you would trade him for anyway? So I have this player that myself, Kenny, is not saying to sign him long-term. But what I'm saying is, if I have him for the rest of this year, and if I'm more in the more realistic neighborhood of, could a team trade a third-round pick? Maybe after a nice season they would. Maybe after a nice solid season in the nickel position, or when he has to start for Denzel, or God forbid if he had to start for MJ, then maybe you would give up a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick. Well, that's still commiserate of what you're going to get in the back end of a third or fourth-round pick with a compensatory pick. So that's my whole point of it, saying, guys, you're trying to compete now, to hell with it. I'll just hold on to the guy, pay him the rest of this year, and then, hey, if he's got to hit the skids, we'll see what we get in return. Like, that's where I'm at. And if we all have as much faith as we say we do in Andrew Berry, then Andrew Berry should be able to turn a compensatory pick into a fine player for us. Which, by the way, I do have. And I know there's been some misses in there, defensive tackle in the middle of the draft, but I got some faith in Andrew Berry that he'd be able to into a quality player. He's drafted well at the offensive line. I think he's drafted well in the secondary, obviously. He's certainly drafted well with JOK. So there's some gold in them there hills, obviously. Wide receiver, defensive tackle, it's left something to be desired. I'll admit that. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to take more swings at those positions just because of the history. They're not going to do that. They're going to fix what they do in terms of scouting, and they're going to reevaluate, and then they're going to revisit it either in tonight's draft or tomorrow, I should say, and then next year. So I got no problem with moving on from Greg Newsom at some point. My entire case is that you don't necessarily need to do it right now. 216-474-0092. Like you brought up with me before, we got Cavs because they're getting ready for Orlando. That's coming up at 7:20. You disagreed with Daryl on Monday about the Browns not needing more picks. Do you believe the Browns need more picks now, or do they need more picks in the future?
I think you always need more picks, but I'm just looking at what you have going on this year, and it's almost a little bit of a surprise because Andrew Berry, you know, obviously we understand they don't have a first round pick for a reason, so. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to create first-round picks out of thin air. You'd have to trade Denzel Ward to get a first-round pick. Like, that's just not happening.
Miles.
You're
not going to trade him.
Multiple. Aren't you getting multiple first-round?
You're not going to trade him unless something...
Yeah.
So unless something you guys know I don't want to say, and you guys all know the truth, yeah. Unless something like that happens.
So I'm looking at their situation where the Steelers have five in the top 120, Ravens five in the top 130, Bengals five in the top 115, and you only have two. So... This is an interesting inflection point here because we've talked about going all in. This is what all in looks like, right?
Yeah.
They're not all in
right now.
Right. This is what it looks
like. This
is all
in, yes.
And I'm wondering, you know, how this bears out as we went over the offensive line, as we've gone over at the wide receiver position. This is why they traded for Jerry Jeudy, and I'm not sure what they're doing with Amari Cooper. I would even though he's the analytics people will tell you, well, he's in his 30s. I think Amari Cooper is going to do exactly what he's doing now is going to be able to do for a while. But you got to pay him.
Well.
But you got to pay him.
Well, you got to extend him. So we sprinkle it out over a course of time.
Sure. But, you know, he's seen what other wide receivers are getting. And holy cow, what they're saying Ayuk could get. And there is a lot of rumors about him getting traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They created cap space yesterday. That is something to obviously monitor. I do think the Browns need more draft picks right now. And I know everyone's like, where are they going to play? How are they going to do them? I mean, Baltimore, we went over the haul that Baltimore has in this year's draft. Now, they lost 15 free agents, but, you know, they're Baltimore. Baltimore has gone with the adage over the years, we're going to take as many stabs as we can. We're going to find a way. If we have to stash guys, you know, we're gonna find a way to do that. I do think the Browns are a little lean on draft picks right now.
I believe, they only got six, and then they got next year's haul. I believe that's fine. I'd like to see how this year shakes out. I want to feel more confident going into next year, and obviously it has to do with the quarterback
position.
Ravens
have nine this year.
That's a lot. So those are teams that have wherewithal and have done pretty well in the draft in the past, and so it seems like they could go speeding ahead of you. I know that there's going to be a time where I can't fall in love with all these guys and just make them Cleveland Browns for life. That's not how this is going to work. But I'd still like to take it one more year, see where that goes, and then if I have to start making transitions within the roster, then I'll make them. I think that six picks and all of them happening after the second round and not having much picks in the first 100, it's not an advantageous position. But we all knew this, and we supported this a year ago when we went through this. Not you, because you were on the fence about Elijah Moore, so you're not part of that. But a lot of people supported this a year ago. This is part of paying that bill. And you were still an 11-6 playoff football team last year. It's still going to be incumbent upon your quarterback, like it is on every good football team, to take you further. 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot coming up in just over an hour. Coming up next, folks, Boston is human. And it could mean we owe Kobe Altman, myself included, a big apology. And well, there's something bad in that Ohio River right now, especially near Cincinnati. Some angry, angry Bengals. It's coming up next on The Fan. Game 3 tonight, Cleveland Cavaliers. More on that coming up in a moment. Do you see the Bengals stuff going on down on the Ohio River? Which, Trey Hendrickson, what type of agent does he have? Talking about, like, retirement. And you said, he wants more years?
No, he wants more money. He wants a contract extension.
And they can't do that.
He wants to be one of the highest paid edge rushers in football. But because of the contract extension he signed last July, they actually can't do anything. Physically cannot offer him any new money until right before the season because there's a 12 month lull. Either way, the negotiations are not going well.
Clearly this is not going the way they wanted it to. And T. Higgins is reportedly requesting a trade.
Yeah,
down in Cincinnati.
They could do what we did with Njoku. Njoku had requested a trade. Kareem Hunt right? Didn't he request a trade at one point? You could just not do it. Now, the Bengals, what do we know about their reputation
cheap
around the league? They are the cheapest.
Careful right? with a dollar. They just don't want to lose money.
I did see
that bubble tent when I was driving to Florida this year.
So. It is a total joke that that's an NFL franchise.
I'm not going to say anything about the bubble tent. I actually have a close personal friend who's like one of the people in charge of putting up that bubble tent now. So I can't.
Wait, turns the air on?
I'll let.
He makes the bubbles?
He's a muckety-muck in the company that sponsors it.
So I'm just going to. You guys can make fun of the bubble tent. I can't make fun of the bubble tent anymore. I can make fun of them having to cross a street and practicing under an overpass.
Is it Dave Lapham?
Like they're the Cincinnati Trolls. But you guys can make fun of the bubble tent. I'm not going to make fun of that. Anyway, I do consider this more just a negotiation tactic anymore. Like, don't you? The whole the trade request thing. Like, I usually think he's good. Wouldn't something get worked out?
I don't know.
I usually think more often than not.
This is a lot of noise, obviously. But what's even more interesting to me, I look bigger picture at this stuff.
But with wide receivers.
What did we always say with when Baker was winning games? We're like, this is going to change everything because when a quarterback is good, it makes everybody fall in the line. Everybody on a team, offense and defense. Well, they've got a version 10 times better than Baker Mayfield. They've got Joe Burrow, and it doesn't matter. It goes to show you that I think we talk about this stuff in a way that does not apply to actual players. In the end, the players want as much money as they can get. Joe Burrow, they're paying. They're paying a huge salary now, too. So there's not going to be as much money elsewhere, although it seems like they should be able to find money for him. But it doesn't matter to Trey Hendrickson. It doesn't matter to T. Higgins. T. Higgins will go to the worst quarterback in the NFL if he got a big contract. He wouldn't care.
He gets his money, yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't care. So these guys don't care, especially as they're on their way up. Maybe on their way down, they will be okay with taking the hit.
I think it's like Stephon Diggs. Do you think Stephon Diggs felt that way? Like I want to compete. I want I don't know if there's some guys who are definitely willing to take a hit, play with a guy, take that swing in a ring. But anymore, like it kind of makes you appreciate Jarvis Landry and Amari Cooper that much more. Like we had Odell, and Odell is Odell. Odell is an interesting figure, but there is a, what'd you give me that look for? Odell's Odell. We had Odell, but you also had Jarvis Landry and Amari Cooper. If Amari Cooper wanted to, he could be the biggest pain in the ass in the history of pains in the asses. I mean, he really could on this team. He's not. There's maybe some people around him who says he should be. I would probably, if I were around him all the time, maybe, and I didn't have a, if I didn't love the Browns, I'd be sitting there going, you know what? Maybe you should be getting yours. Maybe you should be a little bit more upset that they had four different quarterbacks because he didn't play against Cincinnati. Four different quarterbacks throwing at you, and you still got over 1,000 yards. You still were able to lead. Like, you were still doing these things, and you're still not guaranteed a contract in the future.
Most receivers, like, obviously, you know, it's money first. Then you get to a certain stage of your career, you're thinking about legacy. And Amari Cooper, imagine if he got to play with Joe Burrow. Imagine if he got to play with Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm a little surprised that not every veteran wide receiver in the league wouldn't want to, for the last 2 years or whatever, play with Patrick Mahomes and just do whatever it takes. But that means less money. So even at the end, they're still not willing to do it.
But you might get some of those guys, especially if you have Hall of Fame caliber guys, and it's like, all right, I've made enough. I'm going to need a ring to make sure I'm in because of the logjam of the position. Like, there are guys who do think long-term like that. But there's also, I think there's also plenty of guys who go, you know what, I need my money, I don't care about the Hall of Fame. I think there's plenty of guys out there, as much as I adore the Hall of Fame and cherish it and take it seriously, I bet there's plenty of guys who are 30 years old right now in the NFL going, yeah, I need my money. I don't need that. I don't need to go give a speech. I don't care. I need my money. I think that's how they see their Hall of Fame. So I think it's a little bit of a different thought. And wide receivers, I think you're in a weird spot where it's know your worth, know what you are to a team. But again, you got guys like Mark Schlereth, who was on Afternoon Drive a couple of days ago, and I couldn't believe it when he said it, that there hasn't been a guy who's been the leading receiver in the NFL as a wide receiver and has won a Super Bowl in the same year since Jerry Rice. And that's unbelievable. The deal that we make for wide receivers, and it hasn't been done since Jerry Rice?
Yeah, but it would save token. I don't agree that that means you shouldn't have a
Cooper
dominant.
Cooper Kupp did it.
Cooper Kupp did it. That's right. Cooper Kupp and Jerry Rice. That's what he said.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
look
a huge
true. But you know, gap. Yeah. Jamar Chase was right there with a chance. I mean, you do have to think about it that way too. Like if you.
I'd rather have a better wide receiver than a bad wide receiver. I mean, God.
I just think every team does need game changers. You know, that just helps you. A guy, whether it's a tight end like Travis Kelce, whether it's a running back, man, it'd be great to have a healthy Nick Chubb. But you need game changers one way or another. You need a guy that defensive coordinator.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All get in the room the night before the Super Bowl and go, oh my God, if we make one mistake, this guy's gone. It's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. We can't make those mistakes. And that's what I think is more important than anything. So if you have a guy out there, whether it's a wide receiver, a tight end, or a running back, or obviously it's nice to have Patrick Mahomes, who is just that guy all the way around.
Coming up at 7:45. Coming up at 7:45, Fix My Life, and we're going to talk about the people who are very upset that they couldn't see the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 2 and how they could possibly see Game 3 coming up at 7:45. Lima, Boston lost last night. They look like they could be human. Miami, Eric Spoelstra, the Heat culture, the whole deal, they do it again. You're up 2-0 in a series right now. Tonight could be the night that this series ends. If you go down there and you beat Orlando, did you say they're favored tonight? Who did somebody say that they were favored?
They're 2.5-point dogs.
They're 2.5-point dogs. Okay. So you go down there and say that's as close as it could possibly be. So you say if they go down there and they win, I think we're all saying it, then this series is over.
I think the series is probably over anyway. But
probably, yeah. You see that that Boston is human. Could we be actually in a part where I owe Kobe Altman an apology and a lot of other people owe an apology too?
Wow.
Because I got to tell you.
We're thinking about it already.
Because this is, it has. It's been a roller coaster of emotions all season.
I love to hear it.
Like, I'm not above admitting I'm wrong, or I'm not below admitting I'm wrong, I should say. I'm more than willing to admit I'm wrong. I don't like to. I don't set out to say stupid things and have to take them back. But I was as fit to be tied as anybody last week, and I have questioned several times, where is this all going? Where is the accountability? What are you doing here? And my God, if they did that in game 82, and they end up getting Boston, and the matchups have been favorable in the past. Now, that was before they had Tingus Pingus, but when the matchups have been favorable in the past, and they go out there, and they somehow get past Boston, or you know what? Even if they take it to like 7 games, I'm willing to say 7 games. I might go, you know what, Kobe? I could see the method from the madness. I could see what you're doing. I could see the reason for it. Hell, I'll go even further. You ready to do this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to revisit the whole JB Bickerstaff thing and go, Whoa. Maybe we should give him I'm an emotional guy. I know that. So I might have to take all this back or just say, well, a good thing we never had to say, because I don't know if I'm saying all this right now. But with JB Bickerstaff going, well, wait a minute. Maybe JB isn't the problem. Maybe JB can run it back with these guys. Like, I'm just looking at big picture going, I don't want to have to go and live in some sort of honeymoon in the offseason and then at the very beginning of next season go, guys, JB's got to go. this is a mess. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, it's the Hugh Jackson principle all over again. Like, I don't want to bring him back tentatively. It's either you do it or you don't.
This might have been what they were banking on all along, Kenny, is that as much as we would have laughed about just one playoff series earlier in the year, when you actually go through it and when you see growth and when you see, you know, Evan Mobley kind of forging out a path to where you see where a trajectory could be down the road.
Yeah.
When you see Isaac Okoro, a sidestep three-pointer that he nails, and you're like, whoa, he never had that in the arsenal. He was always just catch and shoot. Now he has that to go along with his transition offense and defensive acumen. You just go through every single player. Darius Garland, who has clearly been banged up, hits the two big threes, and he's shooting well behind the arc, mm-hmm. showing some confidence there. One by one, Jared Allen, lights not too bright anymore. He is pushing guys around from Orlando. Max Strus, who's not shooting well, which I kind of warned everybody about, but 9 rebounds in each of the games. Like, he's playmaking. He's doing other things. George Niang, don't believe the numbers. Like, he is going toe-to-toe with Paolo and not letting him get to his spots, and he's putting a forearm into him,
mm-hmm.
using that strength and that savvy. One by one, you go through it, and you feel better about guys, and that can only happen when you push another team around in the playoffs, regardless of who they are. So it does start to change things. And you said the Boston Celtics looking a little mortal yesterday. It helps that the Heat went 23 of 43 from three-point range. That's insanity.
Is that something that could be sustained?
Well,
like, I still think Boston's going to win the series.
Yeah, Boston will win the series. Boston's not going to lose another game in this
series. Well, there you go.
I'd be surprised.
I'm looking for ways that I'm already looking ahead to Boston and seeing how I can attack them. Like, that's what I'm trying to do.
And they guys, match up in a weird way. They're not supposed to beat the Celtics. They'll be huge underdogs. They play the Celtics. But they do present some problems that the Celtics, and I've seen it in the regular season, and that was when the Cavs were undermanned.
Yeah.
I think you'd see it in the playoffs. The Cavs do have some matchup problems for Boston.
And I know you guys like to manipulate the audio and make me say things I never actually said. I'll say this for the record for anybody listening. I would like it to be that way. I want it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm fine with it. If it means good, solid foundations for the organizations that we have here, and I end up being wrong, just being a harsh critic and being a wild man, I'm perfectly fine with that. So say they go and they win this series, they finish this thing off here over the weekend, then they take on Boston. Guys, if they take it to 7 games, I'm going to go, hey, you know what? We got a lot more gold in these hills than we're willing to admit. We are a better run organization than I'm willing to admit here. I'm going to cool off on Kobe Altman. I've tried to defend JB a little bit here and there, but there's not much I can really say. I've just felt it was a lost cause and that was it, and he's going to be let go at the end of the season. I can make you a hell of an argument about keeping him around if they take this to 7 games against Boston in the next series. I'm willing to do all that, and I'd love to be able to do it. Let me get to Frank and Gates Mills. You're first up on the Fan.
Good morning.
Hi, Frank.
How are you guys?
Wonderful. Go ahead.
I am really nervous about the Cavs playing in Orlando. I just heard Anthony make a comment that the series is over. I suspect that Orlando, with the young team playing at home, is going to be a lot better than anyone thinks they're going to be. And I hate to say, I think we're coming back 2-2, and we're going a lot longer than 4 or 5 games.
So you think this is a mirage? You don't think the Cavs have built anything here? You don't think they're doing anything right? You don't think they've had a coaching edge? Defensively, they've had it on lockdown. You don't think they're going to continue that defensively?
Well, defensively, they've been good, but they've also been good because Orlando's been so bad. And I think it's just the fact, and I'm not an Orlando fan at all. I just think it's
sounds like it. Sounds
team.
Like you are.
Yeah, okay. They're a young team that hasn't been in the playoffs, and I suspect they're going to be a lot better at
Frank,
home. That's my theory.
I expect them to shoot better at home. They're shooting 23%.
Frank, thank you for the call.
From three, a lot of those are open, but I will be quick to tell you, they're open for a reason. They are playing into the Cavs' hands. The Cavs are okay. If Jonathan Isaac wants to sit in that corner, they're not even going to pretend to come out on him. But that stuff builds pressure, and as those start to miss and continue to miss, then you saw it. Guys don't even want to shoot. They don't want to shoot the ball right now, and that's the pressure that's happened to us, identical to what happened to us last year against the Knicks.
In this postseason, could you see yourself coming around on JB again? 216-474-0092. Now, I got people here. I'm going to get to you guys in this next segment, I promise you. But you got to hear what we're going to bring you next and fix my life. If you were upset, if you were one of the ones, I hate to tell you that we're fit to be tied over not being able to see that game, game two, because you were blacked out, you're going to want to hear, because we have some instructions apparently, you're going to want to hear Fix My Life coming up next, getting ready for game three on The Fan.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Tell them, tell them how they can watch the Cavs.
Well, let's do it. Maybe I don't need to tell them because apparently...
Let them know.
Apparently they were watching game two in the press release that came out from Bally Sports. Game two on Bally Sports Cleveland, the highest since 2018, game four versus Indiana. Three times the viewership of last year's game one versus the Knicks. Two times that of viewership of four of last year's round one games. 134% higher versus average viewership of the regular season. I will say some of these numbers are a little doctored because I believe last year's game one was available nationally televised on... Was it TNT last year against the Knicks? So
I don't remember. I've tried to block that out.
This year, you know, there was only one place to watch it because it was blacked out on.
Mm-hmm. So the people who are blacked
out on NBA TV.
How do we go about this? How can we help people?
So the Cavs wanted to make sure to let everybody know, because that's what they are in the business of doing.
Yeah.
That the reason so many people had issues in game two was because of location.
Okay.
Location.
All right.
Location services. People were messing around with their location services.
Ooh. Well, wait, you don't want Big Brother to track you.
They said that was one of the big issues because they had to know where you were watching the game from.
Okay.
And if you were watching the game in a different city, say it said Detroit or Pittsburgh, you're going to be blacked out because you don't get Bally's. That Bally's does not have the Cavs game, apparently, in those markets.
But you don't get NBA TV either.
Well, that's part of the issue because of the way that the NBA determines your region.
Okay.
Which sucks.
So
if you were in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And you were looking at the methods that you watched regular season games.
All right.
I think they cracked down once the playoffs started. They also, this was the other part of what the team was saying.
What is it?
Password sharing.
Ooh.
If you were password sharing, there was a crackdown.
So are you telling me that some of the people complaining to us were just...
Yes, and some of my friends were. Some of my friends said it had worked all year, that they didn't have cable, they were using their parents' login, or they're using a family member's login. All of a sudden, either the system couldn't handle it, or there was a crackdown. But either way, whatever they were doing all season was not
working. So what do they got to do today? What do they got to do tonight?
Well, I think if you have cable, you should be in luck, right? Because you have Bally Sports, if you have that tier.
Okay.
But if you don't... I don't know a lot of what to tell you. There are ways to subscribe to Bally's, right? Bally's has their own direct-to-consumer subscription service.
Yeah, but there were people saying that the app was having problems.
That I cannot help you with. If those are the issues and for whatever reason it's buffering or it's freezing.
All right, what about the bar? Can you go to the bar?
Boy, we didn't get. Did we
it's
get
a Thursday
any?
Thursday night, guys. Let's go to the bar.
Thursday night, Thirsty Thursday.
Were there complaints from people that were watching at the bar that didn't have it? I didn't see anything.
No.
I didn't see anything as far as complaint. I mean, you have your
most
bar.
Bars in the area know to subscribe to a cable package that has Bally's.
You can't be a bar and not have the game.
Even if you're not a sports bar, you would still have a television that would have the sports on at that time. Are there any bars that don't have a TV?
There are a few.
Yeah,
there's
in my house.
A few cocktail bars that I'm aware of who do not want that stuff on TV.
They don't want a TV?
There's one in Tremont that famously has a black and white TV, and they're showing old movies. So they're just not.
Which one's
they
that
are not,
one?
I'll tell you after. But they
kind of want to see
they don't
that.
Want people coming thinking they're getting the game.
Can I show up in nothing but Cavs gear and watch an old movie at that bar?
That would be amazing.
Gotta have the foam finger and the face paint.
Start chanting James Cagney. Can I
do
that?
There was Ohio City. We went into a nicer place and we sat at the bar and there was a TV a couple of years ago. And I'm like, hey, there's a big Cavs game. And they're like, hey, you're gonna have to go elsewhere. We are counter programming. We are not that place.
Holy Chautauqua.
At least they were honest. They let us know.
They let you know. So if you had problems, you can get the app, apparently. Did they do like a 7-day trial or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? Never mind. Don't want to do that.
We don't have.
But I put it in the ether anyway. So you guys go ahead and think.
Officially,
about
the schedule for the Cavs. Do we know TNT is going to be game 4? Okay, so we know 1 o'clock on Saturday. I don't think we know after that.
I don't think they tell you until after game 3 what is happening.
So this could happen again
on TV.
Ooh. I mean, this very well could happen again. You should be good,
but
again on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Well, I'm looking at last year's game 1 was on ESPN and Bally.
Well, flatly, that's a new reason to root for a sweep here.
Let's get another reason to root for a sweep. Because it doesn't happen in the second round. Second round, it's all
ESPN
going to be
or
ESPN
TNT.
Or TNT.
Yeah. Okay. ABC. Are we willing to run it back with JB? Are we thinking about it? If they win this series, like with a sweep, and then they compete, like how far do they have to compete
with
Boston?
So I'd ask you, what was the case against JB all season long? Even though he was dealing with injuries. They were the fifth most injured team in the NBA.
The last 2 minutes.
Yep.
I got to tell you, some of the things I heard, some of the veterans not very thrilled with dog chains.
Focusing on the refs more than the team.
Yeah, a lot of the ref
Excuse-making after, and you wondered if that permeated throughout the locker room, that the players were too worried about.
But I also brought up, again, to try in my best vein to be fair to JB, what was it that he had to say that he basically had to say on behalf of his organization? It's the same thing we've accused the Browns of in the past, isn't it? Like, hey, man, if the GM ain't talking, like, the coach is going to be asked unfair questions. Well, maybe JB was asked unfair questions.
Didn't it feel like there wasn't as much accountability in those post games?
Oh, clearly. Yeah, that's why people were upset.
Yeah.
Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the Fan.
All right. So, Ken, are you telling me that it took Miami beating Boston to put a crack in your doom wall here that you've been on for 9 days here or whatever?
I haven't been doomed at all. What are we talking about? What doom
your wall? Whole your fixation with JB, how he can't get fired and stuff, and in
I didn't
reality,
say that. What did I say? What did I say that he can't get fired? I want to know. When did I say that?
You didn't. You couldn't find a scenario where he wasn't going to be fired over the past.
I could not find a scenario where he wasn't going to get fired over the next week
Boston,
or so.
Boston loses. Okay, they have a longer series against Miami. Wears them down. Increases our chances of beating them, and that is like now all of a sudden now you can see a little bit of light that JB isn't going to get fired, and it's like
I can see a little bit of light
enough.
That he might not get fired. So what's the problem?
Right. Ugh. It's tedious. That's all. Tedious radio.
Like this call.
I didn't want to run.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I didn't want to run.
What is tedious about? Like. Okay,
I thought the call was tedious.
Ponderous calls and radio shows.
I was unhappy with you last week. I also think you're fair. You're watching the games.
Right. Yeah.
You've said you think JB is doing a great job.
I don't want him to get fired. I do not want the coach to be fired.
Yes, you've made that clear the whole time that you didn't want it to happen.
Four years.
You thought that it probably was going that
direction. I didn't think there was a way that
I don't think there's anything wrong with having both of those ideas.
Yeah. I can accept
Apparently,
the reality.
Demos does.
I can accept the. I accepted the reality of Mike Pettine getting fired by the time Thanksgiving was there that season.
Yeah, well,
but I did not want Mike Pettine fired.
Yeah,
I did not want Mike Pettine fired. I didn't want him to lose his job.
I think many people wanted.
Yeah,
him fired.
Like that's not a hard thing to say. Like if it goes wrong with Kevin Stefanski, at this point, Tone, wouldn't you and I go, man, that sucks? But I would understand the significance of it. What does that mean? That's if you want guys to root for guys to get fired, I'm sorry. Like I'm not going to speak for the guy across the table from me, but I ain't your guy. I haven't been that way for 12 years.
I had
a guy hate my guts right to my face, and I still didn't ask for him to be fired.
I thought it was a foregone conclusion he was going to be gone no matter what. But I will admit, like when you see them win a playoff series, and if they might be the only team to pull off sweep. If that happens, we have new information. Like we now see a team that is healthy. That is playing well together and is a little more of the mold of what they were trying to be.
Coming up later, why Reggie Bush is why Lima says I'm a Michigan fan. And a fantastic either-or for Cavaliers fans. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.